In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
Double-Edged Sword, a Christian podcast ministry presented by Father Gennard Lazar. Father Gennard is a parish priest of the Mud-Edda Parish of the Assyrian Church of the East in Turlock, California. Here's Father Gennard.
In life, we are encouraged to learn from our mistakes, our failures, our deficiencies, be it in our business tradings, our career in general, our relationships, our marriage, church life, etc. And failures, we need to keep in mind, are not an indication, or mistakes. They're not indications for us to stop, to give up, to throw in the towel. But rather they encourage us in a way to try again, but diligently, cautiously, prudently, wisely. For example, when a decision a husband or a wife make in his or her marriage and the relationship is affected and somehow goes sour or causes trouble and grief, he or she shouldn't give up on the marriage, throw in the towel and come to Rabbi and say that we want to, you know, file for divorce. They have to try again, diligently, cautiously, considerately, and selflessly. See, when a player on the field makes a costly mistake, when I watch my Roosters battling against any other team on the field, and especially the preliminary finals are beginning, I think, and we're hosting the Rabbitohs. You know, when a player fumbles the ball once or twice, and when I'm at the game or at home watching it, I cry, change him, substitute the player, you know. But the coach or the manager doesn't do that. When a player makes even a costly mistake, he's not immediately substituted, he or she. But they continue the game, again, cautiously, being more careful, being more diligent and vigil, so that they don't make the same mistake again. But if the same mistake is made once or twice and it costs the team, as I said, then the coach may, you know, substitute the player who's having a bad day on the field. So too with temptations. Temptations are not a sign for you and I to walk away from God and to give up. There are many benefits from temptations, beloved. Temptations are not actually sinning. When you are tempted, you are not sinning. Because if temptations are sin, if one is tempted and then we classify that as being sinning, well then, chasli, Christ was tempted. But if temptations are taken lightly and carelessly, they will eventually lead you to transgression and disobedience to the precepts, to the statutes, to the commandments, to the will, to the ways of God. If they are taken lightly, they will deter us from pursuing the holiness that we are called to. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, Leviticus 11, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14. They will deter us from the perfection that we are called to. Matthew 5:48. Temptations taken lightly and carelessly will deter us from the sanctification that we are called to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3. So if you're asking, why am I being tempted? Why did God not take away temptation? That is, having desires to do something, especially something wrong or unwise, and especially something that is displeasing to God, disobeying and disrespecting God? Well, first and foremost, we need to know off the bat that temptations come from the tempter, who is Satan, as we read in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. When Christ was baptized, he was immediately taken by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to the wilderness to be tempted. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights and he hungered. And that's when the tempter approached and appeared to tempt Jesus as man. So we can say temptations are warning signs to our weaknesses. You see, Satan dared to tempt Jesus because he saw the second Adam. He destroyed the first Adam and thought he can do the same with the last Adam or the second Adam, but it was vice versa. Jesus destroyed him because Jesus had no sin, was not weak. He had a perfect human nature. So, as I said, temptations are warning signs of our weakness and our inappropriate and somewhat evil desires. It is a weak spot that the Satan that and his enemy or his demons continuously target. We read this in James chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. A man shall not say when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God." For God is not acquainted with evil, and he does not tempt a man. But listen to this. Listen to this very carefully. When you ask the question and you point a finger to God, those three fingers are pointing to our miserable state. But each man or each person is tempted from his own desires, and he lusts and he is seduced. So in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, Eve may have had a desire of pride when she heard that she too would be like God by eating from the forbidden tree and knowing good and evil. It may have attracted her. Pride and you know, glamour maybe attracted her, that I will be like a God. So that was her weakness. And the enemy, Satan, the tempter, the serpent, attacked that target, and unfortunately was successful. St. John Chrysostom writes on the reasons God does not prevent temptations from coming. And there are 5 points, very important, I'd like to share with you. Number one, St. John Chrysostom writes, why God allows you and I to be tempted. So if you're asking the question, I think we had a question about temptation, I'm not sure what it exactly was, but if you're asking, why am I being tempted right at this moment? Or at this point of your life, you're going through some extreme temptations and difficulties, and you're asking why? Well, St. John Chrysostom, one of the church fathers, writes, to teach you that you are now much stronger. You are now much stronger in faith. You are much stronger in trust in God and obedience to God. To teach you that you have the power of the Holy Spirit to put it in practice. As John the Evangelist writes in his first epistle, chapter 4, verse 4, he who is in you, the Holy Spirit, is stronger than he who is in the world. To teach you that you are so strong, you are so connected to God, you are so focusing to God that the enemy wants to devour that. The enemy wants to try his best and utmost best, shooting his most flaming arrows at you, to deter you from that relationship with God. If that sounds scary, well, don't be. Don't fret. God knows your limits. St. Paul writes in his first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has come upon you except that of the children of man, every person, but God is faithful, who shall not allow you to be tempted more than whatever you are able, but shall make an exit for your temptation so that you can endure. So off the bat again, why am I being tempted? Well, take pride. Well, I shouldn't say take pride, but be encouraged. God is allowing you to be tempted because he knows your strength. He knows that you can overcome through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, by the grace and the power of God. You know, sometimes you hear parents saying when a child is struggling, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. And I remember when my dad, God rest his soul, along with all the departed in Christ, was teaching me how to swim. So he would take me to the deep end of Fairfield pools, Fairfield bars, those who are listening, back in the old days, yeah? He would take me to the deep end, and then he would have me in his arms and would tell me to start swimming with my breaststrokes, I think they are. Are these breaststrokes? Yeah, they are, I think. And then he would see a friend and will let me go and say hello to his friend, and I'd go down. But he didn't fret. He would lift me up and say, no, you got to continue. It's okay, you can do it. For me, it's like, what is he doing? Why is he so careless? I can drown here. But for my father, it was, no, this is how you're going to learn. And sure enough, I remember my greatest triumph was 50 laps of the Olympic full-size Olympic pool. Sorry, 20 laps of the full-size Olympic pools I swam. So God allows you to be tempted to show you that you are strong. And how encouraging is it when you overcome that temptation through Jesus Christ? Praise and glory be to his name. Secondly, St. John Chrysostom goes on to say that God allows temptation that you may remain humble and not be puffed up by the greatness of your gift, since the temptations have power to limit you. You know, and in my ministerial life, my priesthood life, I've seen people come to Christ. I've seen people be so committed to Christ, and to a point, pride kicks in and they think that they can take on the world, and they dare to take on the world and, you know, take their focus off Jesus Christ and try to go into the world to take on the evil of the world. They come back second best, beaten, battered, bashed, but they come back as the prodigal son. So the key is coming back. So don't, when you go through temptations, God is teaching you, don't think so highly of yourself that you can take temptations, you know, lightly. As I said, take them seriously, but know that these are your strengthening points, and humble yourself before the gracious mercies of the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, that is the first epistle of Saint Peter chapter 5 verse 8, Simon the Rock goes on to say, be alert, be reflective, because your enemy Satan roars like a lion and is walking and seeking whom he may devour. Don't take Satan lightly. Yes, Satan's times is limited. For a period of time, when the Lord returns, he will be cast out into eternal fire, and all his demons, all his angels. But at this moment, Satan is allowed to roam the world. Now you may say, well, that's not fair. So God is allowing Satan to roam the world, and he expects you and I to overcome. Yes, we have the power. That is why God is allowing Satan to roam the world, because you have been equipped. You have the armor to defeat each time he attacks. And thirdly, St. John Chrysostom writes that God allows us to be tempted. These are the benefits of temptations, you know, in order that that wicked demon who remains for a while doubtful about your abandonment of him, when you flee from him, when you focus totally on God, that he may be well assured by the standard of temptation that you have utterly forsaken and fallen from him. It's a lesson for Satan. He allows us to be tempted, just like the righteous Job, to teach Satan a lesson that you may harm physically, you may cause physical death, a temporal death, a temporal infliction, but you cannot affect the soul, because the soul is totally rejecting you and the soul is totally submissive to God. So temptations, this is a very encouraging point for me when I read this, that when I'm being tempted, God is using me, my trust in Him, my faith in Him, my perseverance in Him, my total obedience to Him, to teach Satan a lesson. Wow. Come on, guys. You know, you feel like going out and saying, come on, Satan, bring it on. But no, you don't do that. It's not according to your knowledge and understanding. It's according to God's perfect will and perfect ways. You know, Jesus said to Satan when he tried to tempt him with glamour and that he would worship him, he said, basically, let me use it in this term, get lost, get out of here, we say. Get out of here, get lost, depart from me, away from you. And he fled. We too. So that he will see our submission to God and will flee when we continue to focus on God. When we continue to reject, not give him the time of the day, but constantly focusing on God's promise that he has a perfect reason why he's allowed you and I to be in that situation. James chapter 4 verse 7 instructs that we must submit therefore to God and stand against Satan, not go, chest to chest in Assyrian, they say that, but not go up against Satan with your, you know, ready to spar with him. No, totally stand against, flee from him, and he will flee from you. And fourthly, God allows us to be tempted and does not prevent temptations to come, is that you and I may in this way be made stronger and better, toughened than any steel, St. John Chrysostom writes. This is the life of the holy saints, beloved. Yes, we are all saints. Yes, amen to that. We have been sanctified and we are saints by virtue of our baptism. We have received the Holy Spirit and we have been set apart as being saints to God. But there are those saints, our holy saints, that reached a level of sanctification where they claim that we must imitate them. St. Paul was one of those. To imitate him, because he imitated Jesus Christ. This is the level of sainthood that the saints reached. St. George, reading his biography, he was thrown into a room. I think I've mentioned this, but if not, you know, if you've heard this, great. It's a reminder, a refresher. If not, here it is. St. George, the illustrious martyr we call, and may his prayers be a blessing to all of us, was thrown in a room with a prostitute. And she was ready to offer her services. But he got on his knees and he started praying for hours. Praying for hours. And that's what he was, because you know, there was the temptation. God put him in that situation, but there was a perfect reason why. The prostitute asked St. George, what are you doing? Who are you praying for? Who are you praying to? He said, my God, the one God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and to my Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. She had one son and she committed her son to him. So she actually says, I have one son. I want to submit him. I want to hand him over to you that you may take care of him. You see how God works in our temptations, the benefits? But the key is that he got on his knees and he started praying. Didn't take on the prostitute to try to, you know, reach out to her and preach to her and Bible bash her, as some say. No, he consulted his Lord because he knew that the enemy, the demons that were trying to bring him down, were fiercely trying to do that. But he overcame through prayer to the Lord. And lastly, God allows temptations that you and I may obtain a clear demonstration of the treasures entrusted to us. For the devil, listen to this, for the devil would not have attacked you unless he had seen that you had been brought to greater honor. When the devil sees people that are in sin, that have been so destroyed by sin, that have so fallen for temptation, that are enjoying their sins, that are trying to impose their evil ways on the children of God, he lets them be, because that's where he wants them to be. But when he sees that the great honor the children of God have got, have received, and are preserving and nurturing and holding in great esteem, that's when he demonstrates his attacks, and that's where he tries to come to us. But when we uphold and we honor those great honor that God has given us, we are, during temptations, demonstrating to him that we have been entrusted with this. And what is the greatest honor? Let me ask you a question. What do you think the greatest honor of a Christian is? Salvation, that's yet to come. The day of salvation is returning. To live in Christ, amen to that, to live in Christ. But before that, what are we called, beloved? I mentioned it a few times. The children or the sons of God. John 1:12, but those that received him, that is Jesus Christ, to them God gave authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, being called the children of God, not just a creation of God, not just a creature of God, beloved, being called the children of God. And how? St. Paul states this in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 27. You are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized have been clothed with Christ. Vestiture. We've been clothed with Christ. There's a gift of holy baptism, being vested with Christ. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Peacemakers. Peacemakers will be called the children of God. So what does Satan try to do? He will try to devour your love, your desire, your will, your attempts to make peace, so that he can take away that precious honor, the title of being the child of God. So let's not be reactive to temptations, beloved. Let's not quickly ask God, why am I being tempted? Oh Lord, take away this temptation from me. No, but rather let's be proactive in temptations to use them to glorify our living God. When we are tempted, we ask God to strengthen us. And Jesus taught us, do not lead us into temptation, not do not tempt us. And many people ask, why are we praying that God doesn't lead us into temptation? God doesn't tempt. There's a difference between do not tempt me or do not lead me into temptation. Lord, we are admitting that we are so, and this is coming from the mouth of our Lord, we are so weak, we are so vulnerable, that we ask you that you don't lead us into temptation. However, Lord, if you do, if it appeases you, if it's your will that I am permitted to enter into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one so that I can overcome through Jesus Christ. Praise, glory, honor, thanksgiving be to his holy name, now and at all times and forever and ever. Amen. One last thing, please also don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. If you'd like to suggest future episodes or give us detailed feedback, please visit the link in the description or on our Instagram, linktr.ee/double-edged sword. God bless you all.